This is a free download from Cork's new Red FM, the Big Red Bench podcast.
Minor footballers take on Waterford in their Munster Championship semi-final on Wednesday night. The Rebels heading to Fraher Field in Dungarvan for that game that has a turn time of 7:30. Now, I am joined on the line now by Cork coach Donal O'Sullivan to look ahead to that game. And first off, Donal, how have preparations been going for the game?
Like everything else, Rory, like the difficulty for Cork is that there are so many games on at the moment. At present, like even this weekend, we have 13 players of our panel playing either senior or intermediate or junior football championship.
So you haven't much time with your players, so have you?
No, I mean, being quite truthful, like, I mean, look, they've been fantastic. They've been available to us whenever they can. The clubs have been tremendous in that, from that regard. But look, at the end of the day, it's just been one of those things from Christmas since Christmas on. They have been, you know, a lot of the players have been involved with their colleges and they've been successful enough, you know, Grocerstone, Cree 3, Faulkner's. They've all been, and obviously, Ballincollig, Curtis de Cullum, you know, winning the All-Ireland. You know, there's been three or four always involved with every one of those clubs. And then you have the dual aspect in Cork, which you probably don't have a lot in other counties. But I suppose, look, in the day, you just get on with it. You drive on with the panel that you have, and you use them wherever you can. But I would say you're probably right there when we've probably been together two or three times since Christmas.
So is it hard to name a team for a game like this when you haven't seen much of your players?
Well, we would have, you know, a lot of experience. We would have worked very hard as a committee, and I selecting, you know, going around looking at clubs, club games, championship games, school games. And we'd have an idea, like, of our players. We've played a few number of challenge games, obviously, internally in Cork, and et cetera, et cetera. So we've given everyone, I think, you know, a fair chance to put their hand up. So our panel at the moment is open-ended. To be honest with you, if we have our fortunes enough to get over Waterford, then I'm sure we'll have a shake-up on the panel again, because, you know, coming up to the leaving cert, and there's an opportunity to look at players that we probably didn't have all along, like, you know.
Will you get a chance to bring all the players together before Wednesday? Will you be training tomorrow or anything?
We're getting together tomorrow morning. Yeah, we're getting together tomorrow morning, and we're looking at, obviously, like, you know, just doing a small bit of work, maybe laying out some game plan, and you know, just maybe have a general team chat, etc., etc. So that will be our first time together since Wednesday. So, you know, all right, look, I mean, I'm not complaining about that. That's just a fact of life in Cork football. Like, you know, you don't really get them until you get over the. We're fortunate, as I said, to get over this game on Wednesday. I mean, then you have an opportunity to put your panel together and, you know, do a lot of work with them during the summer, probably, or during up to the Munster final, if you do get that far. And I'm not anticipating we'll get beyond the game on Wednesday night. I'm just looking at the game on Wednesday night.
And speaking of Waterford, how much do you know about them?
Well, I've seen them play, and I'm very impressed with them. And I'm not just saying that now, because I'm a great believer that, look, everyone that starts the year goes out and does a lot of work, and I think Waterford this year have made an exceptional effort, and they were just came up short against Tipperary in the first game, but they missed about four or five goal chances. Now we're down to see them against Clare, and they scored 6-9, and been quite truthful, and no disrespect to Clare, they could have been 10-9. They have a huge physical side, very well drilled, very well coached by Oran Curran and Dungarvan, and, you know, the likes of Dick Guiry and Gary Horney, who himself is an ex-senior player, and they're very well drilled. And I mean, if you take, like, say, Michael Shine at the wing back, he's 6'4". You have two midfielders, Conor Prunty and Cormac Curran, and they're both 6'4". Their corner forward, Joe Allen, who's last night got 2'5", could have got 5'5". He's 6'5" or 6". And the full forward, Conor Gleeson, I would estimate would get on any team in Ireland. He's a very classy player off both feet and created probably 5 of the goal chances out of 6. Conor Gleeson, full forward from the Nair. So, you know, that's not without their playmakers. Conor Murray, their centre forward. So they've a lot of very good players, and they're at home for the third time in Fraher Field. And I anticipate that, you know, that we'll have a right battle in our hands, and we get out of there with a point win. And I'm not trying to say that now. I firmly believe that, like, that if I'm around the block long enough, like, to know that there's a real challenge in our hands on Wednesday night.
And you are playing them in Fraher Field. How much of an advantage does that give Waterford?
Well, I think this is their third game there, and in front of their home supporters. And, you know, if they get any early advantage or advantage during the game, they'll be, you know, they'll be roared on by their home support, and that's only natural. So we've got to contend with that, and we have to be big enough. And if we have our own ambitions and our own work done, like, you know, we have to go out and, you know, and deal with that situation, which obviously, you know, I'd be trying to drill into our heads that there's nothing for granted now anymore. Like, I mean, in Munster Championship, a Tipperary, very good side, Clare were a bit shit, unlucky. Kerry, Cork, any one of the teams can go out, and this is a do-or-die game for us, and if we're beaten, well and good, we'll shake hands with them. We'll be beaten by a better side, but we'll give it our all, and while we're not going down there to make up the numbers or anything, we'll definitely, like, you know that there's a big battle in our hands.
Finally, Donald, what has to go right for you to win on Wednesday night?
Well, we have to take our scoring opportunities, win the breaking ball from midfield in particular, in the middle third of the pitch, and try and win as many breaks as possible and close off their supply, because they have, as I said, you'd have two huge men inside in the full forward line that are quite capable of scoring by their foot. So, I mean, we'll have to be hungry, want to have the ambition to go on further, and have the desire to get into a Munster final. And if we have those, you know, then it gives us just a chance.
Donald, thanks very much for talking to us. Best luck Wednesday.
Thanks very much indeed. Bye-bye.
The Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM, and that is Cork minor football coach Donal O'Sullivan as they prepare to take on Waterford in their Munster Championship semi-final on Wednesday night. Best of luck indeed to the Rebels down in Dungarvan. We are going to talk rugby, and it wasn't the best of years for Dolphin in the Ulster Bank League. Steve Ford's side finishing in 8th place, winning 8 and losing 10 of their games. Colm spoke to Steve a little bit earlier today about their season.
Okay, joined by Steve Ford, Dolphin coach. Steve, season, wrap it up for me. What do you think?
A bit up and down, really, to be honest. We, we started well, and then we got quite a bit of injuries, and I think the squad got tested more than I've seen for most probably my time in the club. You know, we recruited well last year, but then we fell off. Some of the boys ended up taking contracts and moving on, and some of the other boys like John Fitz and Eric and people like that, really good senior players in the AIL Division 1, were lost for the season, and it put a lot of tests on us, you know. And then after Christmas, no doubt, then that's where they come in, and our numbers weren't where they needed to be. And again, you have to train with an intensity to play with an intensity, you know. But we stuck in, and we had some fantastic doubles. You know, the Gary Owen, we set the goal, we wanted to beat them. Home and away, we done it. You know, the double on Constitution as well, which was great for the local derbies. But our form was a little bit too inconsistent. But, you know, we got caught out the first game where we went up to Dublin with, against Lansdowne, you know, with the A fixture that weekend as well. You know, we were at the Beck and Coleman for that weekend, and that caught us. And we got caught once or twice in those big losses this year, where the squad, perhaps, you know, some of the boys who were at that level weren't in the right set, you know.
Scoring tries was a bit of an issue this season, Steve. Just 10 in 18 games. What would you put that down to?
Look, again, it goes into a lot of things. You know, we started with a bonus point winning Gary Owen, and then, you know, and then we had to get across the line. But I think, not so much as you're not scoring. I think the conceding factor was a big one for me, where, you know, there was a lot of pressure on, you know, when we were effective, our D was good, but there were times that we switched off. And this division is simply the best division. Every year it's getting better and better and better. The quality, no doubt, 5 of the top 6 clubs are Dublin based. You know, the strength, it is a really strong league. You can't miss a beat. And you look at Ballinahinch and others coming back, so it is competitive. It's not easy to put points on the board, and you know, that's something that we found parts of difficult, you know.
You mentioned some of your players, Steve, obviously saying you lost some during the season, but of the ones that you had for the season, who stood out for you?
Oh, there was a few performances, to be honest, who I thought. Darren O'Shea, you know, come on leaps and bounds, to be honest with you, this year. Again, you know, you'll see that with him with his progression as well. But, you know, Christy Condon was resilient as a captain. You know, we played him, you know, he was sore, he was injured at times, you know, but he just kept digging in there. I think Brian Scott, you know, come to us from UCC last year, moved up a division, has gone on and got a full academy with Munster this year as well. Now, his progression was excellent as well, you know. And then behind, no doubt, you know, moving Rory, you know, Keish had a knock, and Rory Scan stepping into the 10 slot. You know, moving that position with him as well, I thought was excellent. And the likes of Johnny Gleese, who were just week in, week out, you know, performers. Then you've got the Darren Sweetmans, who I know had a bit of an injury at the end. I think he found this division where he needed to be, and next year, you know, I think the boy could light it up and get even better, you know.
A mixed season overall, Steve, I suppose, as you've kind of highlighted, but if you had to pick a high point, what would it be?
I think the local derby, the double against Con, to be truthful, you know, I think, look, it's a rivalry that we haven't had success in over the last 3 or 4 years. You know, we've lost the games in the last minute or the last try or the last kick in the last 2 or 3 years. So it was a focus point for us here to make sure that that was effective, and we've done it, you know. And, you know, that was, you know, again, they're always going to be up for those games, but as it turns out, they were great wins as well, you know.
And looking ahead now to next season, what are your plans, what are your targets for the following season?
You know, truthfully, where we are at the minute is making sure that I can build a squad that can sustain it. You know, again, we were around about 42 players season before used for the entire season. I think we were around that figure just after Christmas this year with the amount of injury we had. So I think it tells you can never have a strong enough squad, you know, and that's what we're working at. A 20 structure, a new coaching group coming in there with Don and Al, who are excellent as well. You know, that's a big reinforcement for us, because, you know, the 20 structure is your, you know, is your foundation to lead you on to success. So that's a really big focus which we've worked on. And in the senior structure then, no doubt, keeping the squad where we got, getting them back to healthy, but adding to it, adding different weapons, different variety to it. It's not easy. It's a small pool in Cork, you know, it's a small pool in Munster to get that talent in. But hopefully, you know, what we need to do is make sure we get the right players that fit the right way that we want to play to make us better as well, you know.
Obviously, you mentioned it's a small pool of players to choose from, but have you got your eye on some players that you'd like to bring in?
Oh, definitely. Look, we all have, but I guarantee four other clubs in Cork have got the same process. You know what I mean? You know, there's a change around in coaching elements as well. You know, now with the boys gone from Con and a new two group in there. You know, I've been in this club a long time now as well. You know, it's always, you know, for my focus to keep it fresh, keep it changed, keep moving it through, keep pushing us on. You know, it's not an easy set in the division because the division is so good. You know, we're sitting at the end of the season, which we shouldn't have been. If you look at our win bonus, wins we had, we were as high as teams above us, but where there was games where we should have come away with something, bonus points and all, and we didn't. And, you know, it puts you in a situation last game of the season on 37 points, but you're not actually 100% safe in the league, which is crazy. There's no other league like that. But it tells you the amount of quality in the league and what you need to do to be successful, you know?
Just a word, Steve, for Dolphins James Cullen as well. He's been nominated for Munster's Player of the Season. Some great performances from him this year as well.
I look, the boy, you know, to me, he's a bloke that should be capped for Ireland, no doubt. You know, if you ask for a bloke who wants to put consistency in every week, you ask for to do it at provincial level, he does it every week, you know. He's a credit to the red jersey a minute. And, you know, I hopefully have an opportunity in the summer to, you know, to add, to put a green on, because if some people, you know, look, life isn't fair like that, no doubt. But, you know, if he's putting that level of performance in for me, he's a bloke that should be, should be getting his rewards. And hopefully that will come to fore. He's a fantastic character as well. He does a lot. He comes back to the club. He's so genuine. He's honest bloke. And, you know, hopefully he'll get his rewards at the end of it, you know.
Just finally, Steve, is it a bit of a break for yourself now, or is it kind of work in the background for the next few months?
No, it's manic, to be honest. This time of year is most probably, you know, as busy as, if not busier than what the season is, to be fair. You know, you're replenishing the squad. You're sitting with players. You're trying to get the structures and all other stuff done off the field. Honestly, it's, you know, I can understand, you know, it's my job. But it's, you know, it's a 10-11 month system, the Division 1 structure. You get a bit of a break through July, no doubt, when you brought back in for the pre-season. We'll drop into July, then we'll be back pitching, you know, into the end of July, beginning of August. It's constant, you know. But look, at the end of the day, if you want to be playing in the best league in the country and you want to play against the best teams, then that's the way you've got to have. You know, we're working on a lot of things behind the scenes in the club. This thing's going to change and move on to progress us as well, and that's what you've got to do. You've got to keep looking forward. It's not simply thinking, am I going to be there in 6 months? It's where we're going to be in the next 2 or 3 years. And that's the way, to be fair to the club, we've always tried to think, you know, pushing forward, like the Dixies and, you know, and all the boys in the club and Noel and all these people have got a vision where we need to go, and we're working hard to do it. You know, it's not easy, but we fight strong and we are what we are, and we keep working hard, you know.
All right, Steve, thanks for joining us on Red FM, and best of luck with next season.
Thanks, much appreciated, mate.
The Big Red Bench on Cork's new Red FM, and that is our Dolphin coach Steve Ford speaking to Colin there about his season and their plans for next year. We are going to talk football next, and Cork City returning to action tomorrow evening. The Rebel Army take on Waterford United in the EA Sports Cup of Turner's Cross with a 5 o'clock kickoff. Joining me on the line to discuss that game is City boss John Caulfield. And John, before we talk about tomorrow's game, Have you and the squad had a chance to reflect on just what went wrong against Dundalk on Friday night?
Yes, we have, Rory. We were training this morning. We had a little chat on it. I don't want to dwell too much on it. You know, at the same time, no different than when we were winning all the matches. We weren't dwelling. We were just getting on, carrying on, and going forward to the next match. So, look, it was a bad night. We didn't play well. Dundalk were very good on the night. And as I said, it's done and dusted, and we must prepare for this week. And we have a big match tomorrow. We have obviously a big league match next Friday then against Pats.
I suppose when you go through and the opening part of the event, when you go through any stage of a league season unbeaten like that, how you react to defeat becomes vitally important, and it's massive that you react tomorrow.
Absolutely, yeah. And to be fair, you know, I think, you know, as a group, we all know that Friday night was a bad night. We didn't perform. We didn't do what we said we'd do, and I suppose ultimately we gave Dundalk an easy game. However, you know, no one has blamed anyone else. We've taken on the chin. We only look after ourselves, and we blame ourselves, and we didn't perform. So we need to bounce back. And after we met this morning at a training session, the attitude and I suppose the work rate and everything was good, and everyone's looking forward to tomorrow, and it's crucial for us to bounce back, and it's a League Cup tie and it gives us an opportunity against the quarter final. So I'm certainly expecting us to be on top form tomorrow.
Have you been keeping tabs on Waterford this season? Have you seen much of them or anything?
We have. We actually played them in a friendly match as our first match at the end of January. Then we played them in the Munster Senior Cup down in the RSC the week before our first league match. And I've seen them once in the league. So, you know, typical Waterford, in both matches we played them, even though despite the fact that we won both days and played quite well, you know, they caused us trouble in lots of areas, and there are a lot of decent players. So it's again, a cup tie is a cup tie, and you know, I suppose we need to be on form, and obviously if we're on form we'll win. And I'm hoping that after Friday night that we give a good performance.
You'll probably make a couple of changes for tomorrow's game, John, will you?
Yeah, certainly. It's you know, a lot of guys you know, on the edges have been waiting for their chance, and obviously Anthony Elling has been out injured for a long time, came back a couple of weeks ago but wasn't match ready, and Anthony will start, and obviously a couple of lads like Ian Turner, who has been training very hard without getting much game time, Kevin Mulcahy, Colin Healy, who missed Friday, all these guys will come in tomorrow to start.
That's kind of handy as well, that Darren Dennehy's suspension will be served tomorrow as opposed to the league game against St Pat's on Friday.
Yeah, it helps, even though I suppose you know it has helped, because you know, Darren was a loss, certainly a loss in the whole match against Bowes. Friday night was a different story, because it was just one of those nights when everyone was below par, but you know, certainly it's nice to have Darren back in contention for Friday, and because the more options we have the better for us. And as I keep saying, our panel is tight and we need all our players available, so you know, it's good to have Darren back for Friday.
Speaking of options, it's being reported that Danny Morrissey sets return to training this week. Having him as an option up front is going to be a massive boost to yourself.
Yeah, well, it's still very early days. Danny was with us this morning for the first time since the 9th of January, but he's not able to get involved in contact for another 2 weeks. So being realistic, it's probably 4 to 5 weeks before Danny will, you know, be available, and we must take it easy with him, because the last thing we need at this stage is to rush him, and he has a setback. So it's still early days, but you know, certainly before the mid-season break, Danny may well feature on the bench for maybe the last one or two games.
How high up your priorities list, John, is the EA Sports Cup?
Well, look, you know, there's only three competitions you go for. You obviously, the league is number one, the FAI Cup and the League Cup. And personally, you know, when you're a young team, it's nice to get, you know, into semi-finals, finals of any competition, because it breeds confidence and also gives good experience to the guys. So, like, I'm targeting this as one of the competitions that, you know, there's a real opportunity for us tomorrow to win, to put us into quarter-finals. So, you know, I think it's good for us. And, you know, we've been down in the Dolphins for a long time, and, you know, people like you competing for honours, and that's what we're there to do. And so I certainly be treating tomorrow, you know, basically it's a very serious game for us, and we're putting out a very strong side, and we expect to win.
Excellent, John. Thanks very much for talking to us, and I'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Okay, thanks, Roy.
The Big Red Bench on Cork FM. That is Cork City boss John Caulfield speaking to me about their game against Waterford United tomorrow at Turners Cross. A vital column that they bounce back tomorrow with a win, considering the heavy nature of the defeat on Friday.
Absolutely vital, yeah. As we said yesterday, like, if it had been a 1-0 or 2-1 or something, you'd kind of said, all right, just a bit of a slip up, but yeah, it was a very heavy defeat. So it's important now they get back to winning ways tomorrow night, kind of restore their confidence ahead of the big game against Pats next weekend as well.
Yeah, fingers crossed. 5 o'clock kickoff tomorrow in Turners Cross. Now, the North City and District Sports Awards were held earlier in the week. The awards are sponsored by the Gresham Metropole Hotel in association with award sponsors Grona Brohar Credit Union, and Cork's Red FM are proud media partners to the awards. The latest winner is Cork City under 19 striker Greg Hart. He had a fantastic year in their title winning season, scoring 25 goals, 21 of those in the league, as they went on to lift the league title. Greg joins me on the line now, and Greg, first off, can you tell us how you came to be a Cork City player?
Well, I joined from Castro and I was with them for 10 years, so it was great to move up to another level. And last thing I noticed straight away is the different level.
And was it daunting making that step from Castlewood to Cork City? Because as you say, you've been there for 10 years.
Oh, it definitely was. I was actually kind of scared in the first games and all, because you don't know whether you'll be up to the level or what. Could you actually play at that level? And fortunately for me, I was up to it.
And did it take you a few games to find your feet, so to speak, or did you find that you were very comfortable there straight away?
Like, in the first game I scored 3, so it was a great start for me. Like, but even at that, I'd say it took me a good 5-6 games to get used to the style of play and your position and stuff like that. So
I suppose when you're playing national teams as well, it's almost like a different level physically and stuff like that as well.
Yeah. Like, last year we played nearly all the top teams in Ireland to win the National Cup, but even again, it's a year after that, so they'd have all the better players, all the stronger players, so another step up altogether.
Talk to me about your coaches, Stuart and Paul, and what influence they've had on you this year, because their reputation and the success they've had with the under-19s over the last couple of years is, I suppose, nationally renowned at this point.
That's the thing about Stu and Paul. Like, they want to develop their players. That's the reason that they went to the coaching. Is like, it's always a bonus to win the trophies, but to them it's just getting in players, watch them develop and try to get them into the first team and stuff like that. Like, without the training and stuff, they gave me that. Like, I wouldn't be the player I am now, and I wouldn't have got that award, so thanks to them. Like,
were you surprised when you, or were you shocked when you got the call to say that you were getting the award?
I was, yeah.
It was a great afternoon up in the Gresham Metropole Hotel as well.
Yeah, I was, to put on a lovely meal for us as well.
Excellent, that's what you like to hear. Heading into the last couple of weeks of that under-19 season, it looks like it's Shelburne's to lose. You're a couple of games away from them, or a couple of points behind them. Shelburne just have to, I think, is it win one of their last 3 to win the league, and they don't do that. Did you ever think that Shelburne were going to kind of, I suppose, implode in that manner?
Well, there was 8 games left, and we were out training actually Thursday night, and then we said that there's 8 games left, we'll do our best to win the 8th and see where that takes us. I think we won 7 out of the 8th and we eventually won the league, like, so that's the thing. Like, we just kept playing, kept trying to get the results, and eventually it rewarded us at the end of the day.
And I suppose as well, I know it's an old cliche, but once you look after yourselves, I mean, like, it doesn't really matter what Shelburne do.
Well, that's the thing, like, you have to actually get the 3 points yourselves first, then it's up to them. And fortunately for us, we actually performed well, and they just seemed to not perform the last few games.
What were the celebrations like when you finally clinched that league title?
Oh, it was unbelievable, especially for Stu and Paul, because they were third. Like, that's the first time anyone's ever done that. For me, it was my first. Like, there was Dan Murphy and Derek Harker, and it was their third as well. There was a few there had 2 as well, Anthony McAlevey, that's his second one. So, like, it was great, kind of a backbone to the team by the time we all came in, like, but it actually felt like we were playing for Manchester City when they won the trophy last day of the season, job, like, so I thought it was great.
And John Coughlin, of course, plays close attention to the under-19s. Do you think you caught his eye with your performances?
Hopefully, yeah. But, like, that's the thing with John, he'd tell you straight out what you need to do, what you need to develop on, just to make you a better player. Like, he's honest like that.
Greg, thanks very much for taking the call. Congratulations on the award again, and I know that we'll speak to you very, very soon.
Thanks for that again, Rory.
That's Cork City under-19 striker Greg Hart, who won the North City and District Sports Award earlier in the week, sponsored by the Gresham Metropole Hotel in association with award sponsors Grand Brother Credit Union and media partners at Cork's Red FM. Still to come on the show, Canna V will talk to us as part of our Clubs in the Community feature. We'll hear from Cork Ramblers after their game against Wexford Utes last night as well. I'm going to get you up to date on everything that happened today. You're listening to The Big Red Bench on Cork's new Red FM.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's new Red FM. Everyone is making the switch to Cork's new Red FM.
I made a switch to Red FM.
He's very good, yeah.
My daughter-in-law and her sister, they're in love with his all the time over. I'm addicted to you! Yeah, I've made the switch to Red FM. I didn't listen to 96FM since he's gone.
I always listen to Red FM. I'm
addicted to you! Spread the word. Cork's biggest talk show, Neil Prendeville, from 9 a.m. on 104 to 106 FM. Cork's new Red FM.
Now it's time for our Clubs in the Community feature. This time we're talking to Canna V GAA Club. Dara and Eamon calling to me for a chat earlier on today, and we started by speaking about the launch of the History of Canna V GAA Club book, which occurred earlier this week.
Dara rings in the forward.
Eamon Lyons midfield.
It was a huge night. We had it in the Castle Hotel. Anyway, Jimmy Barry Murphy, the legend, launched it, and you know, it went down very well. Connie Dunn put most of it together. He had about 5 or 6 men in the committee helping him, and it was huge for the club. You know, you could see everyone came together, and it was a huge night. The crowd was frightening, and they were just going through the stories from the past and the legends of the club, and I couldn't believe the amount of Cork seniors we had. We haven't had them in a long time now, but hopefully we'll have another few in the years to come. Yeah. But you look back at the legends, and like I only remember the likes of the Pat Dunleavy and those kind of fellas playing, the other fellas I looked up to, like, and Tommy Murphy, Tom Annie, those kind of old, that generation ahead of me. But I didn't really get to see the other fellas play, the other legends of the club, like the older generation. But the looks of things, I know they were great players, and I hope there's more of them to come around next few years to come.
And I mean, you were telling me that like Con had spent like almost the last 30 years putting this book together.
Con Dunn, apparently he's been taking snippets from newspapers and columns for the last 30 years that nobody knew about, and Liam Nash and John Sullivan, the other John Sullivan, and John Barry Murphy got involved. I think they were meeting every Wednesday night for the last 3 years to get this book in order. Bar, I think they missed 1 week, and so it all came together. Just a lot of hard work, but no better men for the job.
So Darren, must be great as well for, I suppose, the all stalwarts of the club as well, kind of just have the definitive history of the club in just one place.
Oh, it was huge. Like, you could see the delight in their faces, the older lads in the club, like the whole atom just came together, and I never seen them smile so much. Like, it was frightening, and there's two huge stalwarts there that I'd have utmost respect for, John O'Sullivan and John Barry Murphy. They're at every single training, even good times, bad times, no matter what's happening, and they always have a smile on their face. And last year when we got relegated, you know, I could see the tears in their eyes. Yeah. Like, it hurt them deeply, like, as well it hurt us too, but you could see how much the club meant to them, and like, they're still sticking by us this year, and I have huge respect for them, and I was delighted for them as well, you know, to see how good a night it was, and the history of the club is huge.
And Eamon, I suppose it just goes to show as well how important GAA clubs like Canavy are to the community.
Yeah, especially I suppose all clubs would say, but especially in country clubs, I think it's community based. Like, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the shop in the village and the pub in the village, but it's huge. Like, if you don't play football or hurling, there's something wrong with you. So you're dragged into it. Like, so there's no foreign sports as such. But it's huge. It's huge. It's all around. It's the community. It is the community. Mm.
Darry, you mentioned relegation, and it's something I suppose we have to talk about. Talk to me about that year last year and just how tough it was for you.
Well, we started off with a start and We'd fairly good ambitions. We got a tough draw in the first round. We got Aroge, and we said to ourselves, we kind of went into the game with nothing to lose, and we said Aroge, like, they were the kind of benchmark, everyone had them bookies favourites to win the county, and we said this is a great place to be, like, to judge where we are. And the league, we started off poor, and then we had about 4 or 5 wins in a row, and we were building serious momentum, and we went into the Aroge game, and we lost by 4 points, but we gave him a good scare, like, and we thought maybe we won't be far off it this year, you know. And then we were competing on Tuan County. We won the McCrock last year on Tuan as well, and that was a huge platform for us. And we went to the county, and they kind of got in the way of each other, if you know what I mean. We were playing we played a county semi final on a Wednesday, and I think we played again on the Saturday in intermediate. And the recovery time was enough. We played the second round against Granada after we lost to Aroge, and I thought we were probably going to be as good as Granada. I didn't think we were going to be way better, but we went in and we froze. We didn't show up at all. We gave them a huge lead. They went up 10 points, and it was good luck. We weren't going to come back in that game.
It's the joys of championship football, really, isn't it?
Yeah, they were ruthless, and in fairness, they ended up winning the county. They were very good. And then we got Glenmire in the next round, and we probably, that was our, that's where when we got relegated, I reckon, the first day against Glenmire, we were very mediocre. like things were going very well.
Can you put it down to anything specifically, or was it just something that happened?
That was the thing. We couldn't.
We got stuck in a rut when we lost the first two games, and there was a savage break. Yeah. Like that's what I think. That's the biggest thing. It's hard to keep the momentum going when you have such a gap in games.
Championship football.
Yeah,
again,
well, like, yes, boss, and maybe we're not cute enough to. But it's hard to. You'll be flying fit for the first game, and then there's a lull, and then it's hard to pick it up again.
Yeah, so. It must be hard to like kind of psych yourself up because you're so psyched up for the opening round, and then you're like, yeah. There's a couple of weeks break. What you do? You can train all you want, but it's not the same.
No. We got just stuck, caught in a rut. No, it's just the Glanmire match, as Dara said, that was the key one. We were coasting that match, and they got back into it on the
just
goal.
Switched but, off, was it? Or?
Yeah, it's just. I suppose we weren't cute enough to close out the game. It's a different team, though. It's still a young team, and I think last year has brought them on an awful lot.
So. It was a huge learning. Like, we were very young. Like, there was about 8 or 9 of us starting. We were 21 from that team, and we just weren't cute enough. You know, when we were up in the replay against Glamire, we drew that game, and the replay. We were up 5 points at half time, and everything was going great. You know, and. They got a few scores there in the second half, and we went into our shell, and the problem was we couldn't get out of it again, and they drove on and they beat us an extra time, and that was the real relegation. I wouldn't look at the Mayfield relegation final as the night we got relegated. It was that night was like,
so does the mistakes in those games kind of haunt you a little bit now?
They were the ones, yeah.
We still managed to play more games than the eventual winners without winning any game.
Which was... But,
and a final as well.
I don't know how that a laughing matter, though. You know,
no, I know, but...
It was Albert, like, as part and parcel of football, you have to take the good days with the bad, and in fairness, no attitude. Fellas are after driving on, and you can look at the past, you have to drive on, you know.
And that Mayfield game as well, were you kind of aware of the pressure that was on you to avoid relegation?
Yeah.
When you drove on.
Yeah, it was huge. It was do or die. We looked around even before the match, and all the stalwarts that kind of helped to get us to win the All-Ireland, the junior, and we went up, and we were competing well enough at the intermediate grade, but we just didn't go far as in the night, although we were unlucky in ways, but I think Mayfield just closed out the game better. They were more they had their strategy a bit better than ours.
Must be hard as well in the immediate aftermath to kind of think ahead to next year and about promotion and stuff like that. Is it? I mean, like, do you allow yourselves time to, I suppose, almost wallow in the relegation, or is that the right word?
Well, we had a change of management for the start of this year, and I think they set out their style very early. We got Neil Grady, and he's stuck in the army, so he's big fitness,
a lot of strength and conditioning. So
yeah, a lot of jogs in the woods, and all this. We're super fit. We've that done anyway. I think maybe. No, like last year's management team and everything, we did our best and everything, but I think maybe new faces was good too, and
a fresh approach is always good in these things, isn't it?
Yeah. So we've Mickey now in charge, Mick Darragh's father, Mickey's coach, and with Timmy Lyons, manager coach, and Neil the army lad, and Dan Sullivan and Joe Cunningham. So yeah, new approach. Started out very early. The 21s actually started. We're training in October, so. There's a huge overlap from both teams, and we started in the January, was it?
Yeah.
So we've been we have that top pitch fairly trampled into the ground now at this stage.
And the 21s were successful last year, weren't they?
Yeah, we won the county, but that team has been coming for years. We won the under 12 mid Cork. We won the under 14. We lost the final in 16. We lost the Premier County semi-final minor, and it was a dream come true winning the under 21. It was our last time playing together under an age group, if you know what I mean. And it was a dream come true to win that. Like, and it was such a contrasting year, you know, to get relegated and win under 21. It made no sense to me anyway. And I'd say to a lot of people in the club, I couldn't understand how we looked very kind of free flowing and on 21, and then when it came to intermediate, we looked very nervous as players. You know, it made no sense how we were very uptight, if you know what I mean. But I suppose intermediate, it's a different ball game too. You're up against grown men, you're on 21, you're up against fellas your own age, and fellas are cuter when you come to intermediate.
I was about to say, the cuteness, you mentioned cuteness as well, like that's something you have to kind of expose, develop, as you go.
Yeah, yeah, football has changed so much. And even the year we went to Ireland, and like, it's come on, it's leaps of its. You even see the inter-county there. It's all, it's just have to be cute. You have to be fierce for its strategy, and it's just, it's a different game.
It's got a lot more scientific as well, I think, with the kind of the training and the strength and conditioning and that aspect of it, which wasn't there maybe 10 years ago.
That's.
Sure, players know where every player you mark is in peak condition. Like, you know, you. Back in the day, like, I remember when I was first starting off playing junior with our second team, you would love to go in corner forward. You're like, geez, I fancy going corner now. They might have a slow cornerback.
That was normally me.
There's no slow cornerbacks anymore. Everyone's up in a level power. Everyone's super fit. And
that's why I don't play football anymore.
Junior football's a different ball game. It's after upping its level differently. The standard of players is frightening, like, all around Cork. You know, it's the toughest competition to win, and... Do you know what is? I can't believe the standards have to go up so much. It's very little power with intermediate.
I suppose your immediate aim now is to get back to intermediate level, isn't it? It has to be.
Yeah. Our aim really is first of all is to win the Mid Cork, and I think we're well capable of it. If we play at our potential, we're good enough for anybody in that grade. I don't know the county. Obviously, we have to win Mid Cork first. I can't be getting too cocky, but they'll shoot me for that. But Mid Cork, and I think once we get a bit of momentum, sure, who knows? We could win the county again. I don't see why we couldn't.
And is there pressure on you to get back up almost straight away?
No, we're very grounded. Like, fellas are thinking that we think that we're going to walk it. We're taking every team very seriously. Like, Blair and Nino, we were playing the first round last night. I've never seen such nerves in a dressing room. I could see.
Really?
You could feel the tension. We haven't won a championship game in 2 years. Like, you know, you can. That doesn't. You don't get confidence. Do you know what I mean? You're not going to go into a game. Is if you're going to walk it. Like, we knew Blarney were a serious opposition. They'd won two McCorks previous in a spell of 3 years, and we went up to watch them actually on the Sunday before to see, you know, that's how serious we're taking teams. Everyone said, oh, Blarney, that you'd be better than them. We knew that Blarney were going to be serious, and they proved to be serious opposition. And now we're into the third round now, and whoever we get, we know it's going to be a serious battle. It's just game after. That's what you have to do. Is you have to prepare game after game. You can't be looking to Mid Cork finals. You have to look. We're into the third round now. Win that, you're into a quarter final, and that's the way we're going about this year.
And getting that win last night after not winning last year, how much confidence does that give you going forward?
Yeah, it was huge. It was huge. I'd say if we were down at half time, we would have got some roasting. But we played great stuff in the first half. As their centre back said to me after, they tried to park two buses. We got around that. But it was great. There was 17 points. It's great to win any championship game. So we were delighted with that aspect of it. But good start. So. Up onwards and upwards, I think.
Excellent stuff, lads. Thanks very much for calling in and telling us all about your club, and best luck as well with the book. A History of Kennedy GAA is out now, so if anyone wants to get it, just get onto
on sale in all local bookshops.
Yeah. All the good bookshops and some not so good ones as well.
Dunn's Food Store in Carrigadrochid is another location you can get it.
All right, lads. Thanks very much, Colin.
Cheers. Thanks so much.
Big Red Bench on Cork's new Red FM, the Stara, and Eamon from Canavy there, who called in to tell us all about their club as part of the Clubs in the Community feature. And if you'd like your club to be featured in Clubs in the Community, to tell us all about your club, all you have to do is get in touch. You can tweet us at Big Red Bench, or you can send us an email, sport@redfm.ie, and we'll be in touch. Going to talk football now, and it was a disappointing night for Cove Ramblers last night. They lost 1-0 to Wexford Utes at St Comyn's Park. The result leaves Martin Cambridge's side rooted to the bottom of the table, just 2 points from their 8 games. Our reporter Mark was down at St Comyn's Park, and he spoke to Ramblers star Keith O'Flynn, who also won the Cork City and County Youth Sports Star Award of the Month for March for his efforts as captain of the under-19 Enda McGill Cup winning side. This is Mark's chat with Keith.
A disappointing result for Cove Ramblers this evening, Keith.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. Like, we went out, we were absolutely buzzing there in the warm-up. Like, we really did expect a win today. Like, we started off very strong. I think it was 4 or 5 chances there in the first 10 minutes or something. But we just couldn't put the ball in it. Like, it's been like that now most of the season. We just can't score goals. Like, but it's just very disappointing, I suppose. But we used to build ourselves up now and train now again Tuesday, like, or Monday, back at it then. Oh, we have a match Monday, sure. So we don't even have time to even think about that last night. Like, you know, we have to get straight heads back on now. Like,
you must have felt you deserved something this evening, surely.
Oh, definitely, yeah, 100%. Even if we didn't deserve the win, we definitely deserved the point. Like, but look, it's football, and it doesn't go that way all the time. Like, but we just have to build ourselves up, as I said, like, and give them a go now again Monday night.
Just to move to a happier note, I know that you were part of the under-19 squad. You were the captain of the team that won the under-19's Enda McGill Cup.
Yeah, it was a brilliant achievement. Absolutely. Being from Coveland as well, like, as they say, I was playing since I was 6 years of age, like, and to lift the trophy then at the end of my school bike and a year end of it, like, was absolutely brilliant, and I loved every minute of it. Brilliant.
Must be nice as well to play the final in St. Coleman's Park.
Oh, it was absolutely fantastic. Yeah, when I was in school, I think, and I went to the toilet not to get to the draw, just to listen to it. Cavs had it on the phone. Well, the St. Coleman Ramblers went home and I, like, left. Absolutely brilliant. I was absolutely delighted. Brilliant to have it in Coleman's Park in front of all my family and friends and stuff.
Those opportunities don't happen too often, I suppose.
Never will again. Absolutely unbelievable. We're so lucky, the squad we had. Everyone was just... There was a team, like, you know, you knew it was a team. It was like a family, like... If you were down, did we all bring ourselves back up? You know, it was brilliant.
You were the winner of the Cork City and County Youth Awards for March. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that?
I got told about it 2 weeks in advance from the actual thing, like, you know, and next thing I woke up, it was a Wednesday morning, I think it was, now, and it was Cavs on the phone. Like, Cavs just goes, look, we forgot, you're actually getting an award today, like, and this was at 10:30, and he was like, you have to be in Cork for 12:30. For a 3-course meal, and you'll accept the award then on the club's behalf, I think. And again, like we had no time to prepare for it, no rain. Like,
yeah.
We didn't know. We trained the night before as well, and we didn't even know. Like, but it was absolutely fantastic achievement for me to get now as well. Stone home now, like, the trophy. Like,
yeah.
Like it says, Captain Keith Flynn on it. Like, so, and to get that, like, and to be on all the newspapers and the inside goals, it's just absolutely amazing. The response I'm getting from people on Facebook and Twitter as well, like, it's just unreal. It's like a celebrity, like, it's brilliant.
And they treated you to a 3-course meal afterwards?
Oh, they did, yeah, 3-course meal on, and speeches in between then, the meals and stuff. It was just kind of nerve wracking, but no, it was absolutely a brilliant day out, in fairness. It was 6 or 7 of the lads then as well came up with me, and we had a brilliant day out. It was a lovely meal.
I know you're only 18 and you are doing your leaving cert. Is it difficult to juggle study and football?
Oh, yeah, it is, right. Like, I've an exam now Tuesday morning, like, and we're away Monday night, you know, so I'm going to have to bring the books, like, up with me and see if I can study. But that's it, like, away days there are grand because you are on the bus and you have a bit of peace and quiet, you can study away, like, so that's what I do anyway. But other than that, then I study before training and all that, like, you know, I get it in, like, I have time for it, like, so enjoy it.
Thanks very much, Keith. You're a credit to the team, in fairness, juggling both your study and football.
Thanks a million, Mark.
Really interesting stuff there from Keith O'Flynn of Cove Ramblers, talking about trying to find the balance of studying for his leaving cert and playing in the Airtricity League as well. Defeat for Ramblers last night against Wexford Youth. It's been a tough season for them, their bosses, Martin Cambridge.
On a rainy night in Cove, Martin, not the result you would have been hoping for?
No, you know, we've kind of disappointed in the result, really. Like, and you know, I fairly gutted for the lads. Like, I thought they played well, they worked hard and created chances. And then in the end, like, you have to take these chances, you know. But
they were mainly on top for the first half, and Cove Ramblers did have a lot of aerial chances but failed to capitalise.
Yeah, I think we had 4 good chances in the first 10 minutes. Like, and I thought it was 50-50, really. Like, I thought, you know, we hit them well, we set up well. We attacked on the flanks, we got crosses into the box. And, you know, at the end of it, like, there was some strikes and goal, the keeper brought off. And there was a 2-3 one-handed saves there in the first half. And
Brian Goldsmith had a cracker of a shot saved.
Yeah, he had a good effort from him. I think it was a follow-up to that with Keith Lynn's header. And I think Rob Waters had a good effort as well, like, in the first half. And, you know, so, and to concede so late in the half in, like, injury time was hard, really.
Yeah, possibly the worst time to concede, Martin. What did you say to your players then at half time?
You know, obviously we had to pick up and have a go again, like, and just repeat the first half, except we wanted to take our chances, like, and, you know, we worked hard, and, you know, we felt there was something in the game for us, like.
You didn't really let your heads drop, though, and you kept pushing and pushing for an equaliser in the second half.
We did. We gave it a go, like, and, you know, that's all you can ask them is to keep working and keep trying, and we're getting that, like, and it was a big improvement on last week, too, as well, you know.
I think it was just the vital finish she lacked, really, was it, yeah, in the box?
Yeah, it was small, but, you know, like, again, like, Keith was unlucky in the second half. Johnny Framer had half a chance when he came on, and Martin Deedy had an effort as well. Like, and, you know, if you're a two-star keeper, he stood big and he got him out of jail, really, you know.
You were just after two defeats to Dublin opposition, Martin. Was it hard to lift the players for tonight's performance because they did really put in a good shift?
Well, Dublin and Wexford opposition.
The last two away games.
Oh, yeah. No, we're ready, like, we're ready to win the shift every time, like, you know, as I said, they're young, and, you know, we'll roll up our socks and we get on with it again, like, and, you know, just Monday night now again, you know, that's...
And I see in your programme notes you weren't very happy with the second half in Tala last week.
No, I was disappointed, like, I just felt that we caved in, and defensively we won that the races a lot, but, you know, tonight I think for last parts of the game we've done a lot of things right, like, one or two things that we can work on again in training, like, but, you know, nothing, you know, I'm not blaming anyone for the goal, like, and last week, like, defensively we were all over the place, but it was a big improvement tonight, I thought, like, you know.
What about the fans coming out in the bad weather conditions tonight?
You know, it's about them, like. That's all I said to the lads in the dressing room, like, it's about the supporters of Cove, like, you know, that's, you know, there's not many of them, you know, in fairness, but what's there, like, they deserve to have football here, like, you know, and they deserve to have a league of our own team here. As I say, we'll try our best. We'll try and get a bit of help in June, in the end of July, or in the start of July, for maybe bring in one or two if we can, you know.
I know that you said that you plan to strengthen the team as much as finances allow, so the fans coming through the turnstile really are a vital part of the club.
Well, we'll strengthen the team, okay, but, like, it's, there's no finances, you know what I mean? There's no finances, like, it's whoever wants to play for Cove, we play for Cove, like, you know, whoever wants to play in League of Ireland. That's the way it is, you know.
You have the EA Sports Cup on Monday night now against Waterford.
Yeah, we'll regroup. We'll do the walking wounded and we'll see who's available and who's not available for Monday now. Because there's a...
Is there a few injury worries?
There's a few injury worries now. We are Bobby, Ryan Goldsmith, and then you have one or two lads doing exams who won't be travelling with us, like, mm-hmm. So that's, you know.
And then Finn Harps in a week's time back here in St. Clement's Park.
Finn Harps next Saturday night, we'll raise the tempo again for that. We'll have a good recovery and we'll be back training then either Wednesday or Thursday night. We'll do a late something Wednesday night and Thursday. We'll go back up to our set pieces and, you know, start again Saturday.
This is a free download from Cork's new Red FM, the Big Red Bench podcast.
It's been in the making with a few years, in all fairness. A lot of work has gone in. I suppose with a particular group of the under-14s last year has gone in, I suppose, since under-10. Since under-8 and under-10, that's where the work started. And we've been very lucky because we've had a great bunch of people involved in training. And we've also had a great bunch of lads that are willing to work and willing to learn. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it showed last year. And so far this year things have been going well. So it's been working over the last, we'd say, 4 years, really. This group really have been building up.
So that's been the benefit. So the squad have kind of grown up together and they've bonded together and they kind of, that bond is there.
They have, and we were lucky because we had a group, as Luke would know, we've had a group of maybe 20 to 22 that just all came along together, basically. Mm-hmm. And we had a big squad and it was easy to train them. We had no problem in fulfilling fixtures because we always had numbers for matches, and that's mm-hmm. a huge advantage in small areas. So we were very lucky with that. As I said, with the group of people we had, parents, for bringing people, because as you know yourselves, lads, we're well away from a lot of places, so we needed that help. We got great help all the time, and that's what has built up to the success at the moment.
And at the start of last year, like, were you confident that there was success in the team?
I was sure you were. I suppose you were never to know. No, yeah. We knew we had a nice bunch of players. As I said, a committed bunch of players. But you're guaranteed nothing, as I know myself. You go out there and any one time you're going to give it the best you can, and you're going to work as hard as you can. But we knew we had a nucleus of very good players.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I suppose we just tried to get a pattern of play together and get them working together, well together.
Yeah.
And it worked for us. As the year was going on, we could see that games were going our way. Some games we won relatively easy. Some games were right down to the wire. And them games suit us really.
Yeah, like it's just a case of more wins giving more confidence, really, I suppose. Right?
Correct, and I suppose that's what it is for youngsters, that's what it is for probably all teams, really, but in particular with younger teams. You know, I mean, everyone wants to win. You're not going to win every game, but we were very lucky that we won the majority of them.
Yeah, and like, I suppose it's often said kind of like a cliche, like that down in the Bear Peninsula, like, it's football and nothing else. Like, but is there an element of truth behind that? Like, that, you know, because football is such a big interest for fellas, like, that they put more time into it and get better at it without realising it almost.
Yeah, I suppose we were brought up with football and full stop, really, because we don't have hurling in the club. I mean, anyone that wants to go playing soccer, yes, by all means, they can play soccer. There's no soccer or rugby for that matter. But we were born into football. That's what we had. We had a man that trained us, and I remember training myself at the under-10s, probably under-12s that time, I suppose. There was no such thing as under-10s, at John Joe McCarthy, who would have trained us at under-12, going back that many years ago. And we knew nothing else.
Yeah.
Like I said, no hurling. At that time, there was no soccer. You want to go to Bantry if you want to play rugby. So, I mean, look, it was football. And we were very lucky, as I said. We had, you know, great people in charge of us. And that's a huge bonus. You can have all the good players in the world at times, but you need, I suppose, a bit of coaching. Yeah. You know, sort of get the balance right. And we were lucky we had that from day one.
And that rubs off from generation to generation. Like, that the youngsters who learn off a good coach will become good coaches themselves. Like, and it's just passed on.
Well, you would hope that would happen. Yeah, we've been very lucky. We've had some great footballer players down there. We had Paul Hanley, who would have played a lot of football with Cork at underage and at junior level, and also at senior level. And he got back involved training underage teams. So that's important, I suppose, that people like myself as well, who have obviously played a lot of football, but then it's nice to be able to give a bit of time back to the underage as well.
Yeah, and Luke, to turn to you, how good have the coaches been in kind of imparting their wisdom to you?
They've been fairly good, all right. We weren't the greatest when we were younger, but Kieran, he came manager there of us when we were under 10s. We won our first final ever, and ever since then we kind of stayed kind of like around the top and winning finals.
And like, what's it like to be learning from someone like who's played an All-Ireland final for Cork, and what's, you know, the star throughout the 90s, like?
It is fairly good, like, because he's all the skills that he did up in Cork, and he can teach us it.
Yeah, and I suppose, like Kieran was saying, when the team have grown up together, you develop a real bond, like, and you kind of get used to each other's style of play, like, and it almost becomes automatic.
Yeah, it is all, like, fairly practice and training, and then when you bring it from training into a match, and you get fairly used to it, then playing together.
Yeah, and I suppose you won't be satisfied with just winning at underage. Like, you want to keep winning all the way up through the race now.
Yeah, try your best anyway.
This is a free download from Cork's new Red FM, the Big Red Bench podcast.